जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। कपि जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, गिरिवार धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, व्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, गिरिवार धारी। यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय
Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text Number 41. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yad artha iha karmani, yad artha iha karmani, vidvan mani asakrin naraha, vidvan manyasakrin naraha, karoti ato viparyasam, karotyato viparyasam, amogham vindate palam, amogham vindate palam, yadartha iha karmani, vidvanman yasa krinnaraha, karotyato viparyasam, amogam vindate palam, yadartha iha karmani, vidvanman yasa krinnaraha, karotyato viparyasam, amogam vindate palam, yadartha iha karmani, vidvanman yasa krinnaraha, krotyato viparyasam, amogam vindate palam. Yadartha iha karmani, vidvanman yasa krinnaraha, karotyato viparyasam, amogham vindate palam. Ladies, karotyato viparyasam, amogam vindate palam. Yad, of which, arte, for the purpose, iha, in this material world, Karmani, many activities in factories, industries, speculation, and so on. Vidvat, advanced in knowledge. Mani, thinking himself to be. Asakrit, again and again. Naraha, a person. Karoti, performs. Attaha, from this. Viparyasam, the opposite. Amogam, unfailingly. Vindate, achieves. Phalam, result. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A materialistic person thinking himself very advanced in intelligence continually acts for economic development, but again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Purport. No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Therefore, one must not waste his time in such material activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next. So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness, individually or collectively, but history proves that they have all been frustrated. In recent history, we have seen so many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is the law of nature, as clearly explained in the next verse. So please repeat the translation. A materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development, but again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Hamagina tamrandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun malitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapatantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagarjatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakan vitamscha. So this is a very appropriate purport for the time. Prabhupada is explaining here about a materialistic person. So generally speaking, at least I remember when I first joined the movement, I was thinking of the materialistic people were the ones outside, and all of us living in the temple were the spiritualists. But then, you know, we see after a while that actually we are aspiring to be spiritualists, but many times we find that actually we're acting on the material platform. And so therefore, material platform means that I have to protect myself, I have to provide for myself and for my family. If I don't do it, then who will? And this is done individually and is done collectively. Different groups identify with a certain cause and they act towards the end of that cause, or we get the collective, the greater collective, which is the nation. And nowadays, this whole thing of nations, the United Nations, nationality, the whole identity, we all more or less buy into it. But nationhood is nothing more than just a massive collective effort for economic development. Right? That's all a nation is. That's what they put themselves forward to be. Whenever, like right now, you have these two personalities in America vying for the presidency, and they're all coming up with their plans, how they're going to make a better plan for the economic development to make America great again. So, same thing. Can never be successful. It reminds me of Prabhupada in light of the Bhagavad. He gives some very nice descriptions in that book. And I'm going to read you one of the descriptions. A living entity is as pure as the limitless sky. He becomes covered by the cloud of forgetfulness. However, in this tendency for enjoying the material world, because of this quality called tamas, ignorance, he considers himself different from the absolute whole and forgets his purity, which is like that of the clear sky. This forgetfulness gives rise to separatism and false ego. Thus, the forgetful living entities, individually and collectively, make sounds like thundering clouds. I am this, it is ours, or it is mine. This mood of false separatism is called the quality of Rajas, and it gives rise to a creative force for separate lordship over the mode of Tamas. The flash of lightning is the only beam of hope that can lead one to the path of knowledge, and therefore it is compared to the mode of Sattva, or goodness. So we see this is going on, like in America, you know, you've got these two politicians, I am this, and the other one's going, I am that, and they're both thundering like clouds. A lot of thundering going on. Every nation, this, whenever election time comes on, there's lots of thundering going on. And this is all based on this tamas, this ignorance. I remember my temple president in Ireland, Preetu Prabhu, he used to say, ignorance means ignorance, because we ignore Krishna, because we ignore the reality of actually who we are in this material world. Therefore, we are plunged into ignorance. Because we choose to ignore the Lord, therefore we are enveloped in this ignorance. And ignorance is just, who are we? What is our real position? What can we look forward to in this world? So we've had, in the past, you know, we had Churchill, we had Hitler, we had Mao Zedong, we had Stalin. All these people, millions of people were putting their faith behind these leaders who were promising, yes, we will make our place superior, we will be the superior people, the superior race. And as Prabhupada says in this purport, now in history we can see they're all gone, their whole civilization or their whole version of civilization is gone. And actually, people used to live very well without all of this nationalism. You know, I don't know if you know this, but passports were introduced just after the First World War. Before the First World War, practically no one had a passport. You could just wander around freely in the world. No one would stop you. There was no border check. You could just go wherever you wanted. And the whole concept of nationhood, that arose during the period of the Napoleonic Wars. And basically, these systems are systems of control where people, we understand that we've come to the material world because we want to lord it over. We want to lord it over the material world. We want to lord it over the other people. And some people are very good at that lording over. And they are the ones that created this concept of nationhood. Get everyone together. Divide us from them. And then we can create an artificial rivalry, and in this way we can control the people. So before this whole concept of nations, people were living very simply in villages. It's described that here in India, the Mughals, when they came to attack, when they came to invade, were surprised at how easy it was, because in many cases, the people, they didn't have this concept. There was no national concept. There were small kingdoms, and if you lived in the vicinity of the king, then there was a certain amount of identity with that king and loyalty to that king, etc. But many people were just living in the countryside, practically never saw the king. They were just going about their daily business. And of course we saw here in India, the place is full of temples. And the Brahmins were there. And so everyone would just be going about their daily work, which was basically to provide the food that was required, to provide the housing and the furniture that was required. And then going to the temple, and every evening sitting down and hearing stories of Mahabharata or Ramayana, are living very happy, simple lives with no concept of nationhood, no massive security arrangements. Of course, Prabhupada describes that. It's not that they were just complete pacifists. Prabhupada describes that when Krishna was leaving Gokul, the cowherd men, they gathered up all the belongings of the families and they put them on bullock carts. And then they set off for Vrindavan. And in so doing, they kept the women, the children, and the old men in the middle. And the cowherd men would pick up their bows and arrows and they would proceed. And Prabhupada describes how that even though these were Vaishyas, they knew how to take care of themselves. They knew how to protect their families. So yeah, we have that responsibility to take care of our loved ones, of our immediate family, our immediate village. But that's really as far as the collective needs to go. Of course, one could argue that, well, okay, because of their pacifism, then they were taken over. You know, India was taken over by the Mughals and had to suffer so much. But of course, we also have to understand that this was karma, that because of the advent of Kali Yuga, people became more sinful and selfish. And because of this, gradually, their pious credits were dissolved. And then they had to face the onslaught of these different invaders. But despite the fact that these invasions went on, people continued to live their lives. In many cases, when the wars are going on, those wars are, how would you say, they're restricted to certain areas. There's only a certain distance that a certain amount of troops can travel. So like, for instance, in the Second World War, I think it was Sweden, practically nothing happened in Sweden, or Denmark, or Switzerland. Certain countries, practically speaking, had nothing to do with the fighting. And even in the countries that were fighting, some areas were unaffected. So like that. Nowadays we have the modern media and we can go on the internet and we can see what's going on in the world. And then we get put in anxiety. Oh, this is going on in America. This is going on in Africa. This is going on. But actually, like for instance here in Mayapur, you know, Mayapur, we've had this land since 1971. Prabhupada first got the land in Mayapur. And everyone's been living very happy, peaceful lives ever since. Even though so much conflict has been going on in the world in different places, if you didn't have the internet, if you didn't read the newspaper, you would never know. You could just live your life very happily, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the deities, and performing your devotional service, completely free from all kinds of anxiety. But now, we go online, and automatically anxiety comes. Just now, for instance, I was seeing that Russia has alerted 40 million of its citizens to perform drills for a world war, a nuclear war. Just this last week, 40 million Russian citizens have been advised to perform a drill for a world war. And same thing in China, just in the last week. So this goes back again to this purport where Prabhupada is describing that this striving for economic development Even if you're successful, even if you become successful in some business or promoting something, world war can come along. And we know that when wars come along, then all of your success can be vanquished just like that. Everything becomes claimed by the government. So, like this, we have to actually just focus on the Lord, focus on chanting Hare Krishna, focus on pleasing our Guru. There's anxiety. People are in anxiety that, oh, well, if I surrender to Krishna, then who will take care of my family? It's a natural kind of anxiety, but it arises from ignorance, from tamas. If I look back, when I joined the movement, when you joined the movement back in the 70s, devotees just did devotional service. You just went to joined the temple, and whatever the temple president told you to do, you just did that. You didn't think about anything else. No one read the newspapers or had the internet, or there was no kind of outside influence or news. I remember Jayadvaita Maharaj, he once wrote an article, "No Time for Time." You know, Time magazine was this famous magazine, and he wrote this article, "We have no time for time. We're too busy doing our devotional service." And that was the movement as Prabhupada set it up. In fact, when back in, I think sometime in the 70s, something called Telex came up, and that was a machine that you could have, and it typed out a single strip of paper, and you could send news to someone instantly through this Telex machine. But it was very primitive. You know, you just got a little strip of paper and it would type out some words. And Prabhupada said, "We shouldn't get it. It will just be used for prajalpa." So now, you know, we've really excelled at prajalpa. You know, we've got whole sites devoted. You can go, you know, spend all day online and find loads of prajalpa. So of course, we can use the medium to also preach. And if we do that, then it can be used nicely. But if we're just using it to criticize each other, then what is the use? It's completely useless. So, Prabhupada warned us not to be business-minded. So what does that mean? I mean, I remember there was a conversation with Srila Prabhupada about Varnashram and the duty of the Vaishya came up. And so one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, so Vaishyas can do business?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." He said, "But not this rascal business." And then he defined trade as being, trade is when there is an excess of something, you can take it to somewhere where it's scarce. And in that way, business can go on. But it's not that we're meant to endeavor to make profit. Profit comes naturally. If you put one tomato seed in the ground, then you'll get a plant that will give you 100 tomatoes, and each one of those tomatoes will have 100 seeds in it. So Krishna gives incredible amounts of profit. Just simply by using what he gives us, we can make so much profit. So anyone who's grown tomatoes or other vegetables will know that you always get many more than you can use. So then, okay, you can trade them for things that you don't have. Maybe you don't have cows and milk, so you can get milk, you can trade your tomatoes like this. So that is business. That is the actual business. When we talk about Vaishyas, then this is basically the kind of work that a Vaishya does. Now, especially if we're talking about Daivi Varnashram. Varnashram is one thing. Daivi Varnashram is the Varnashram that devotees are supposed to follow. And basically that means that devotees, we recognize everything is Krishna's. Everything belongs to Krishna. Nothing is mine. And we understand from Bhagavad Gita that you're entitled to do your duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits. Who follows that? You know, who is going out to work and then just giving everything away? Of course, we had devotees like that. What's his name in San Francisco? Our Rathyatra man? Jayananda Prabhu. He was a taxi driver. He was working all day long, and they would give all his money to the temple. Satsarup Maharaj also, when he was just a young devotee, he would work in the welfare department, come, give all his money to Prabhupada, and just eat prasadam and just live with the devotees. So this was how Prabhupada set up the Hare Krishna movement. And it went very well. When Prabhupada was with us, it wasn't that, you know, we all kind of suffered from poverty and everyone was starving and you know, everyone was unhappy and miserable. The movement grew by leaps and bounds, just using this simple system where we engage in devotional service and we rely on Krishna. So for the whole period that Prabhupada was with us, it was like that. And Prabhupada warned us, he said, Krishna is no poor man. Krishna can give any amount of money, and he will give it if you just surrender to him. And Krishna was the prime example of that. Prabhupada was the prime example of that. When Prabhupada came to the West, he didn't have any business plan. Like nowadays, if you want to start a business, all the people will tell you, oh, well, you have to have your business plan. You have to know what is your going to be your expenditure, what is your overhead, how much profit you can expect in the first 3 months, 6 months, a year, like this. And only once you know that, then you can start your endeavor. But Prabhupada had no such plan. Prabhupada understood that actually, I'm Krishna's servant. When he was on the boat, he was saying, just let me dance as you like a puppet. Let me just do whatever is required to give people Krishna consciousness. So, this is open for everybody. This is something that we can all do. We should all be acting like that. That Krishna, he will provide everything we need. And if we think that we can endeavor, if we think that we can get something by our own endeavor, then we become the doer, and then we have to face the result, which comes in the form of karma. And as we know from this purport, you can never be happy by doing like that. You will never be happy. No matter how clever you are, no matter how good your plan is, you will never be successful. Even if you may, there's a few rare people that somehow or another make it as millionaires or billionaires, but they're not happy. They might have the money, but they're not happy. And even if in the rare case you become happy, then you have to die. And then you have to start all over again. And of course, generally speaking, those wealthy people have committed so much sinful activity that their next life is not going to be very good. So, why should we endeavor like that for these different types of economic development? Of course, we're the society around us is completely the opposite. We're constantly bombarded with signals, with information, especially when we're growing up. We're taught in the Western school system how to be obedient, submissive workers. That's what the Western school system basically teaches. It teaches you to be an obedient, submissive worker. It doesn't recognize that there are four types of personalities that are born constantly. There's Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. These mentalities are constantly being born. And each one of them requires a particular education. But the Western education system doesn't recognize that. And so therefore, you're put into that system, and if you have, say, a Kshatriya nature, you cannot ever be a Kshatriya because the teacher will put you down. Sit down, shut up, and listen. Right? Anyone who's a little bit boisterous in the class, there's no room. You sit down, you shut up, and listen. Nowadays, if a child is like that in a classroom, they're sent to the doctor, and they're, diagnosed as having ADHD. What does ADHD stand for? Anyone know? Attention Deficit Something Disorder, right? And there's a medicine for that. Hey, they'll give you a pill. Yeah? So if you have a Kshatriya nature, that'll get shut down with a pill. So the whole purpose of human life, what are we here on this planet for? We're here to develop the personalities that we've been given. We've been given a certain personality, a certain nature. And we're supposed to live our life fulfilling that and actually rising above it. For instance, if you're a Shudra, then by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in devotional service, by hearing from the sadhus, you can rise up. You can come to the Brahminical platform. So like that, every one of us gets the opportunity to rise up and be more than he started out. That's the purpose of the material world. But the Western school system doesn't allow that. So many of us are products of that system. And so therefore we have been suppressed. We unconsciously are not able to fulfill what we could really be. That's one aspect. Another aspect is the whole garbhadan samskar, the whole system of samskars in which a child becomes purified and is able to raise up his consciousness. So this system also, no one practically speaking is following. So like this, we've been somewhat disabled, but Krishna consciousness works at any stage. If you introduce a child to Krishna consciousness, then it's much easier. And of course, for an adult, it's more difficult. It depends on your mentality. We see that some adults can come to Krishna consciousness and very quickly surrender and very quickly make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And other people come to Krishna consciousness, but it's a struggle, a long, hard struggle to get anywhere because of attachments and because of a worldview, because they haven't changed the worldview. We don't even realize actually what our worldview is. It's something that unconsciously develops as we grow up, depending on the culture we've grown up in, depending on the school system we went to. And that worldview affects the way we think. It affects our opinions on things. And so therefore we form faulty opinions. It's very important as a devotee to be aware of this and to always be humble enough to allow that I might be wrong, that my worldview, the thing that I'm thinking is right, might not be right, and that we should seek shelter, we should seek advice from senior devotees to clarify our position. Not that we hold a position and then stick to it stubbornly, and then anyone who doesn't agree with my opinion or uphold that opinion, then I oppose them. This is just ignorance, actually. And the trouble is, we're affected by ignorance very much. This world is full of ignorance. So we have to be very aware of that, that much of what we hold to be true is actually based on ignorance. And we have to, with the torchlight of knowledge, by being submissive, by serving sadhus, senior devotees, we can become eligible. We can get the mercy to actually change our opinion, to change our understanding. So Prabhupada, he wanted us actually to be like him. He said that all of you, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, all of you should become like me. All of you should become guru. And Prabhupada, he recognized that it's a thankless task to do this. I have a conversation here from Srila Prabhupada in Mauritius, and the devotees were discussing about preaching. And Prabhupada, he said, you have to spend or waste gallons of blood before you can convert a person to Krishna consciousness. It is so difficult a task. And there's a devotee, he says, you have to spend, Prabhupada, gallons of blood, waste. In what way, Prabhupada? By talking with him, with the rascal and the foolish. And you tax your brain and you spoil your energy, blood. So this devotee says, so we should do that. Prabhupada, unless you're not a preacher, you should be prepared. They have to do it? Prabhupada, yes. They cut, sacrifice. What to speak of wasting blood, wasting life. This is preacher. He is recognized by Krishna. He has done so much for me. So when we can see here Prabhupada is talking about wasting your life. What does that mean to waste? What is Prabhupada speaking about here when he says waste your life or waste blood? Instead of using that time and energy to get our own economic development or to secure our future, we waste that time trying to convince someone else to become Krishna conscious. We sacrifice that time. We give it up. And we just concentrate on helping everyone else. This is the sadhu. And this ultimately, this is the ultimate goal. If we can become like that, Krishna becomes so pleased that this person has put his life aside. His life doesn't matter. And he goes to wherever it takes, wherever is necessary, and he preaches. He finds people and he tries to convince them. He spends hours and hours preaching to them, and they don't respond, or they have a misunderstanding, or they don't do what he wants them to do. And then he has to preach again and again and again, like this. Gallons of spiritual blood. But the actual result of doing that is actually you get the favor of Krishna. And then so much comes. So we saw that Srila Prabhupada was like that. He didn't care about himself. He didn't care for himself or his own situation. He just wanted to help others. And because of that, he was so successful. So much was given to Srila Prabhupada. And we are all sitting here because of that. So, so important to understand that actually we cannot take care of ourselves. We cannot use the material energy to provide for ourselves. If you do it, you'll have some result, but then you have to suffer the karma, the bad result. So somehow or another, we have to aspire to this position where we just act in a selfless way and Krishna will provide everything. He may not do it immediately. I remember when I was living in Spain, we were, my wife and I and my son, we were living there, and we'd moved to Spain because Kadama Kana Maharaj, some devotees wanted to sell New Vrajamandala, the farm there. The New Vrajamandala farm has as much land as we have here in Mayapur, 600 acres of land, huge land, and the devotees wanted to sell it. It was all paid for. Fantastic place. Devotees wanted to sell it. So Kadama Kana Maharaj asked my family and I to go there and try to help save it. So we went there. And I was helping with the management for a little while, but I wanted to do a little project to kind of try to develop some Varnashram development. And some of the devotees in New Vrajamandala just wanted me to fix windows and kind of do things like that. And then when devotees would come to work on our project, some devotees would get angry. Oh, they should be helping us here in the temple and not developing your Varnashram project. And it was very difficult. And Kadamba Kana Maharaj, when he would come through, he would give us a few hundred euros. And I started to grow food. I started to build cottages. But it was a struggle, and we hadn't yet grown our food, so I'd have to get money. So I remember sometimes we'd be down to our last 100 euros. And I'd spent it, and there was nothing left. I had no idea where the money would come from or what we would do. And I remember my wife had no clothes. All our saris and everything were finished. And it was like looking really desperate. And then one devotee came up to me and said, "Oh, Prabhu, do you need some clothes?" And he gave me this big box of clothes. And it had all these saris and Punjabis and things that were just the style my wife liked. And she was like, and they were all like practically new. It was like amazing, you know, like that. All the time, somehow or another, something would come. And then finally, my father left his body, and we got an inheritance, and we were able to come here to India and develop different things we wanted to do. And like that, you know, we went through so many years of difficulty, and Krishna just made arrangements in different ways, in so many ways. So it happens. You know, there's so many devotees that have similar stories, how Krishna is taking care of them. So it's a fact. Krishna will take care. He may put you through some hard time. It doesn't mean to say it's going to be easy. But ultimately, if you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna takes you under his wing, and he takes care and he provides. So this is the fact. So I'll stop there. Anyone has any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your lecture. And I would just, with all respect, like to discuss a little bit about that with the children who are over hyperactive, and that would be a Kshatriya nature. I'm sorry, but I don't think I can agree on that, because the Kshatriyas I know they always have a very low profile. They're just observing. And whenever there is need of courage, then they are just thinking how to deal with this in the proper way and to whom direct it. So they, as far as I know, they are very like sober, self-controlled. But when there is a need of courage and protection, then they know exactly how to solve that problem. And people come to them automatically for protection, and they are kind of drawn to these people for protection and like that. It's not that they are hyperactive or like outgoing. They can be even very shy. But when there is a need of protection, and then they are there and have the courage to deal with it in the proper way. So I don't know if you...
I speak of, you know, hyperactive, nowadays drinking a can of, you know, Coca-Cola or something is going to make any kid hyperactive. So it's not just that Kshatriyas are hyperactive. Shudras, I mean, any child can be very hyperactive. And you're right that in general, Kshatriya is very sober. But a child's Kshatriya can also be a bit fiery. And they like to do martial arts, like we have in Gurukul here, you know, two-thirds of the school are engaged in martial arts, lots of jumping around and shouting and smashing and things. So that is also there, because in order to actually protect, you need to be able to kill. Prabhupada describes, actually. He says that even Kshatriyas are allowed to kill in self to learn. They can go to they can find an animal which is causing some trouble, like a boar or a leopard or a tiger, and they can kill it. This was, of course, in the old days when there were lots of tigers. Nowadays, it's not recommended because it's illegal and there's not many left. But like that, whether it's a Kshatriya or a Shudra kid, the point is that the educational system doesn't recognize that there are four kinds of personality. And in Gurukul, it actually recognizes that. And then, actually, in the Gurukul system, the three dwijas are there, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. And they're given basically the same education in terms of the scholarship, the learning, the Shastric learning. But the Gurukul system, because it's not just about scholarly activity, therefore, there's lots of practical work. And as boys grow older, they're given the opportunity to engage in management, to do self-defense programs, or to be preachers, or to be taking care of our shop, or whatever it is. And so they can work gradually into perfecting themselves as Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, like that. So yeah, I hope that covers it. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhu, it's just a little comment on the word waste. Srila Prabhupada's use of English was a little more kind of 19th century than ours is. And there's a dimension of meaning of the word waste in terms of it being debilitating. And my reading of what Srila Prabhupada is saying there is that if you want to be a preacher, you have to accept that you're going to have to use huge amounts of energy to get very little result or nothing at times. And that has a very deep, debilitating effect on your vital energy. And in that regard, Srila Prabhupada was very much aware of how we were on a war footing. So his whole point of coming to the Dharma every year was that you come here and you drink deep of the nectar of the Dharma and go deep within yourself and become rejuvenated for the fight. So the wasting aspect of being a preacher is, it's very inconvenient. You have to accept that there's going to be inconvenience of all kinds, from all directions, and that is going to have a debilitating effect on you. And you need to know what to do about that.
Yeah, that's very nice, very true. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have anything? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.